IndieCan Music presents the Toronto Indie Scene. Hi, I'm Joe Chisholm. Dulce Barbosa is with us. She's with DB Promotions and Publicity. But first, from Cambridge, welcome Tomorrow's Excuse.
We're Tomorrow's Excuse, and this song's called Fine.
It seems the time has come again for me to move on now. I've found some meaning in the lines. Your words have shown me how. You're hiding in this melody, in the tragedy emotion. Watching waves beneath you move, a mountain ocean. Troubles come and troubles go, and this I am outspoken.
Well, hello, Tomorrow's Excuse. Welcome to IndieCan. Glad to have you here.
Glad
Thanks
to be
for
here.
Having us. Good to be.
Now, you're from Cambridge.
Yes.
What else happens in Cambridge? What's Cambridge known for?
Well, I think I'll field this one. In Cambridge, growing up, you have a few options. You can either basically get into hockey, sell yourself or play rock and roll music, and we felt that we chose the best of those options.
Have you tried out either of the other two?
Hockey for a few years, but that last body check almost put me in the hospital.
So your fingers were still in order, so you decided you can still play guitar and you'd try that.
Yeah, let's give it a go.
And those are your real teeth?
Absolutely, yeah. Fortunate.
That's a great thing about music.
I think he's lying.
Now, there's obviously got to be some problems with playing or coming from a small town in terms of you've only got so big an audience to play to in your local town, right? But are there any advantages? Does the local media help support you? Do they do anything to get behind you?
Absolutely. We had our CD release party in Cambridge, and it was pretty easy to get a lot of the media outlets behind us. So that's a good thing about being in a small town.
Now, what's the big radio station there? Is it 105.3 Cool FM? Is there anything else there?
There's like 107.5 Dave FM too.
I think that's a Cambridge one. For indie bands, though.
Yeah, they'd be more sort of. They're looking at the 30s, 40s crowd, right?
Yeah,
they're like a Jack FM kind of thing.
Exactly. 70s music.
Like being from a small town, we've really had to initially, right off the bat, look to the broader picture, look to the bigger cities, look to the entire province almost. And we've been chopping our CD around and sending it to other radio stations outside of Cambridge, places like Y108 in Hamilton and 102.1 The Edge here in Toronto.
So what do you call your genre, and who do you think your audience is?
Ooh, it's kind of alternative rock, I guess, sort of mixed in with some art rock. It's pretty pretty diverse in terms of the rock field anyway. We will go from a soft ballady type thing down to an all-out rock fest song. Our audience really seems to be anywhere between the ages of 14 and 40, really. Our moms like our music.
Now, other than Cambridge, where have you had a chance to play?
Played in Oshawa, a lot here in Toronto. We have been all around within like an hour or two, I guess.
Where have you found your best audience? What was your best live experience so far?
Oh, that would be here in Toronto at the Opera House. We made it to the finals of the Emergenza contest, which is a worldwide contest, and we made it down to the final round of the Toronto Regionals, and we were able to garner up enough support from home and bring a couple of buses up, as well as everyone else who made it down to the Opera House that night. And I think I speak on behalf of everyone when we said that it would have been our best show to date. We look forward to having many more just like it.
Everyone agrees?
Oh, yeah. That was a great show. There's over 1,000 people. And
it's a great place to play when it's full.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Which it was, and it was awesome.
This is still Tomorrow's Excuse, and this song is called Commerce Killed the Beauty. Summer breeze of golden trees is now a shopping mall where commerce killed the beauty. Oh. Oh, oh my God, what have we done? Reach the daylight.
fast as the train rushes past our window. Could you let me know if it all works out? Let me know if it all turns out. Let me know, 'cause I will stay behind and watch this tower fall. Oh my God, what have you done? You sold us out, nothing for anyone anymore.
So how did each of you get started with music? Let's start with the very little to say Dave on bass.
How did I get started in music? Started taking guitar lessons when I was 5 and picked up the bass around the age of 13. Then I just didn't go back to the guitar.
Who were your influences?
I'd have to say I grew up listening to a lot of my parents' music. A lot of 60s rock, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens. And I got into my own stuff. Green Day was a big influence back in 94 when I started playing the bass. So,
Matt, how did you get involved in music, and when did you decide drums was for you?
Actually, it was when I moved across the street from Steve, our guitar player. We were just kind of bumming around outside and just kind of came up with this idea to start playing music together. We're just talking one day, Steve was like, I want to play guitar, and then it's like, I want to play drums. And we were both into the same kind of music. We were listening to 90s rock and listening to like Pearl Jam and Soundgarden together all the time, living across the street from each other. So that was really how it started for me, when me and Steve both kind of made the conscious effort to pick up an instrument.
And did both of you have a burning desire to start a band and write songs, or are you surprised that you got to hear from there?
It was a burning really desire. I mean, being the last person picked for the sports team always starts to get tiresome and pretty crappy after a while. So we decided to kind of go our own route, pick up the instruments. And like I said, we lived across the street, and it was as simple as that. Matt, you want to play drums? Yeah. Steve, you want to play guitar? Fuck yeah. Let's go out. Let's do it. Let's start a band. Let's kind of see what we can do with it. And here we are.
And Mike, where'd you get started?
Well, I got an electric guitar for Christmas when I was 12. And I didn't even really want it. And I was kind of a nerd sort of thing. But once I really got into music, it completely changed my whole outlook on life and how, you know, I was, that's kind of how I came along as a writer, was feeling like the outcast, learning how to find my place, and that's, nothing's really changed there, but that's kind of how I got into it. Pearl Jam and Tea Party were huge influences. Jeff Martin, the singer of Tea Party, probably was the one singer who inspired me to start singing. You know, you don't have to be Freddie Mercury to sing in a rock band. You know, you can just have an interesting voice and have something to say and, you know, make some people's lives enriched through it.
In the case of your band, how do you go from a creative idea to a song? How does that work out?
Sometimes it'll be conceptualized, like Commerce Killed the Beauty was more of a, one day I looked out the window and we have a, I actually live with the drummer Matt, and we have a train tracks not 15 feet from our house, and I was just so disgusted with it at that point that I wrote a song right there on the spot. So they usually come from really, really strong feeling or
you know, a subconscious desire to get my feelings down and get it across, and that's usually how they come out. And then other times they're riff oriented. You'll just come up with a cool riff and be inspired to write words later.
So once you had a few songs, tell me how your sophomore album came to be. How did you actually end up in the studio, and what was that experience like?
Well, we were really surprised with how great it turned out. We were kind of on a little bit of a budget, and I mean, we did the whole album in about 6 days at Wellesley, so we were really surprised with what we got.
How many tracks in total?
11.
11 tracks?
11 tracks
in 60
days.
Hours.
We just went at it hard. We practiced our asses off for
you were
months
well prepared.
Before we went in.
Yeah.
It was, everything was like one or two takes. Like, so we were really happy with how it turned out.
How will you know you've arrived? What would happen so you would say, we did it?
Yeah.
No more day job.
All I want to do is be able to play music for a living. I don't really care if I'm making millions of dollars. If I can make like comfortable living playing music, even if I'm making what I'm making now, just playing music, I'll be bliss. It'd be pure bliss.
Yeah, it seems there's no middle class in music. There's the multimillionaires, and there's well, as Bob Sagarini says, what do you call a musician without a girlfriend? Homeless.
Classic joke.
It's so true.
Well, thanks for coming into Indie Ken. You sound great, and I will watch your career with great expectation.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks for having us.
Too much on the day of the dream. This is Dulce Barbosa from DB Promotions and Publicity Inc. I hear it first on the Toronto indie scene.
XM Satellite Radio, and you're listening to the Toronto Indie Scene.
I met a boy who liked to play thought that I could change his ways, but a boy like that always stays the same. Didn't give up my virginity, thought that I could make him see, but another girl made him see so much more. And now you fooled her too, so it's time to play the game on you.
Bring it on.
Cause I have you paid.
Bring it on.
Just try to give me back. You'd be surprised by what you get instead.
Bring it on.
Cause I can see through you.
Bring it on.
There's nothing you wouldn't do. Oh boy, I got news for you. Thought you would win, but now you lost. Say goodbye to the coffee press. Want. Don't ask me to be another girl who just can't see. Boy, you know I'm smarter than I used to be. So now it's my turn to, time to play the game on you.
Bring it on.
Cause I have you paid.
Bring it on.
Just try to give me back. You'd be surprised by what you get. Play. Thought that I could change his ways, but a boy like that always stays the same.
Bring it on.
Cause I have you paid.
Bring it on.
You just try to give me back.
Just try to give me back.
You'd be surprised by what you get instead. Yeah, yeah.
Bring it on.
Cause I can see through you.
Bring it on.
Thanks again for Tomorrow's Excuse for coming into the studio. It was great to have them. We started off the second segment of our show with Dearly Beloved. Their CD release party was in July. The CD is called You Are the Jaguar, and we played the title track from that. After that was The Visit. Their CD release party was at the Bovine, their self-titled debut album. It's three boys from Sudbury. They came to Toronto, found a drummer, put out a CD, and the rest you can find at thevisit.ca. And after that was a Daphne. Daphne we've played on the Toronto indie scene before, and the reason I played her, she just emailed me and told me she is going to be one of the performers at Honey Jam's Hot Summer Showcase, supporting Canadian female artists. It's at the Mod Club. It's August 20th, which is a Sunday. You can find more about it at femphat.com, P-H-E-M-P-H-A-T.com. Kind of has an urban sound to it. So we'll do our little support of Canadian female artists ourselves here. I got a couple of tunes for you to listen to. The first one is a band called Lucy. I'd never heard of them, but I went to see them live, and they were just fantastic. They're a very quirky band, and I'm going to play a song called Shark Bite. After that, Krista D, who is from New Brunswick, sent me a copy of her pre-release CD, which is going to be called Jane's World, and we'll hear something from that. So let's hear Lucy.
The sunrise out the west. So bad.
Thank you. then I would be the first to go. But lonely words can't make me stay. I know the time won't change us, 'cause we've already changed, and I'm so far down in it that I can't see the light, and I'm finding it a little hard to breathe when these walls are closing in, and I don't think I'm where I want to be. Now I don't want you taking all of the blame. You always hope that I would change, and I thought you would stay the same. We know it can't go on this way. I'll go tomorrow, and when tomorrow is today, I'll be so far down in it that I can't see the light, and I'm finding it a little hard to breathe when these walls are
I'm Matt Bowman from Tomorrow's Excuse, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
That was Fairground with a song called Down On It. I have with me in the studio Dulce Barbosa with DB Promotions and Publicity, Inc., and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit of the background of this band and that song.
Hi, this is Dulce, and Fairground is actually a joint venture of Mike Turner from Our Lady Peace, and Pete L'Esperance from formerly of Harum Scarum. Actually, it's not even formerly. It's actually Harum Scarum is still around.
Still, they still exist.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So classic case. You know, Our Lady Peace, Harum Scarum, and these two guys have gotten together and done this or doing this independently, but definitely having that major label appeal and sound. So kudos to them. Pete is doing the writing, and Mike is doing some incredible guitar work, along with Pete, of course, Pete L'Esperance. And they've done it all out of their basement, or I believe the studio in Pete's basement. The mastering, well, I think that was something that was discussed here in the studio earlier, was done by one of the, you know, pros in the city, Joe Carvalho. And, you know, they're out at radio now with this single and getting some good attention. I mean, there is rock commercial radio stations that have actually added and playing this song. So indie, yeah, it can work. You know, as long as you can stand up with the big boys, then you can definitely get some exposure on commercial radio.
So, Dulce, I'm just going to back up a bit. You're a classic industry insider. Your company does publicity and promotion. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're at a cocktail party mm-hmm. and someone who has nothing to do with the music industry says, so what do you do for a living? How would you explain it to them?
Oh, you know what? I try to keep that stuff into a nutshell because what we do is not really rocket science, okay? What I do or what promoters like myself, it's not rocket science. It's just common sense. And basically what I tell them is that what I do is get exposure for independent artists anywhere I can. Ideally, it would be on commercial radio, try to get songs played on the air. And yeah, to the outside, it does look fascinating and interesting. And oh my God, it's a glam. And you know what? Originally, when I got into the business, that was part of the lure because I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I'm going to be at all the parties. I'm going to be
hanging with rock stars. And I'll tell you, that was quashed pretty quickly. I used to work, well, I still do to a certain degree, with Rock Voisin. I've worked with Rock for 17 years, right? And if I'm backstage sometimes doing an autograph signing with, you know, contest winners or whatnot, I'll occasionally get the comment, oh my God, you're so lucky you get to be with him all the time. And it's just like I think about it and I go, yeah, you know, I guess I am lucky, but you don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
But it reminds me, it takes me back and reminds me to why I got into this business in the first place.
So you did have stars in your eyes when you started.
Oh, of course. Who didn't? You know, I mean, I've been listening to radio since I was 5 years old, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But, you know, and at five, knew every song, every lyric to every song. And it was radio, radio, radio. I never thought I'd be a radio promoter. But that's what I naturally fell into when I graduated from the Harris Institute.
But it's like 2% glamour and 98%.
There is no glamour. I've got news for you. There is no glamour. It is it's an illusion because what it really is, aside from talent, and trust you me, the talent has to be there for longevity. What it is a lot of freaking hard work. Like I said, it's not rocket science, but it's work.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, so that's what you'd say to someone at a cocktail party. What about a band or an artist you want to work with? What's your value-added proposition? What are you going to bring to them?
What I bring to them are my relationships mm-hmm. that I've created over the last 17 years, my reputation that I've created over the last 17 years, which I hope is good. I'm thinking it is, but one can only hope, right?
If you're still around.
I'm still around,
yeah,
okay? Right. I mean, I did start out working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I started out, where the heck did I start? Oh, I shouldn't even say that. I started out at RDR Music Group promoting their country packs and their, so it was these compilations that I started promoting. And then I went straight from there to promoting Rock Voisin with a company called Linda, a company owned by Linda Daw. At the time, it was called the Music Brokers. And we broke Rock Voisin at the time. Now, I don't know if that's an artist that, you know, IndieCan listeners would relate to or even probably even know who it is. But, you know, 10 million records sold around the world is nothing to sneeze at.
That's pretty cool.
And he's an independent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the most major label support he's ever had was when he took his distribution deal to BMG. Mm-hmm. But he's never been a direct major label signing.
Yeah.
He's always been an independent. So you tell me, yeah, 10 million records around the world? He's done good.
So the company is DB, your initials.
It's a play on my initials, you know, Decibel, DB.
Right? Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got other members of your team.
Oh, so absolutely. I couldn't do anything without them.
Break down by everyone does the same thing but with different artists or do people have different roles?
No, we like to, we prefer, and there's three of us. There's Roy Roberts, who's been with me for about 10 years, actually. He's been with me since day one. He started out with campus radio and has graduated himself to commercial radio as I became more and more involved in the actual administrative part of the business. I cannot be phoning 300 stations a week, so yeah. I need help. I will, you know, I have my stations that I deal with, and he deals with pretty much the bulk of them. And we have Bessie Bullard also, who I worked with. good God, I trained that girl when we were over at Ethan Russell Promotions together. And she has come to work with me over the last 3 years, and she is heading up marketing.
Yeah.
And she is heading up rock radio because that is her forte. So those are her two main areas. She also does all our online stuff, and she's an amazing little spitfire when it comes to that. Online meaning our website. She deals with our website.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty sophisticated looking website and a pretty remarkable looking list of clients.
Absolutely.
Like, it just looks like almost too much. How you look after that many people is a remarkable thing.
It is, but it takes all three of us. You know, it's not a one-person job. I would be so lying to you if I told you I was juggling all of that. I can't. But back to your original question, the way we like to work is that we are all involved with the same artist. Okay. Mm-hmm. That way, everybody's on the same page.
Right.
We all even work in the same room in the office, so we call the bullpen.
Yeah.
So is that we're within earshot of each other. We know what's going on. We know what's going on over there at AC Radio with Roy's little call to, I shouldn't say little, but Roy's call to, Roy's call to, like, Fresh FM in London, okay?
Right.
To my call to Chum FM in Toronto, to, you know, Bessie's call to CJ in Calgary. Mm-hmm. We all know, okay?
Yeah.
Now, of course, there are going to be artists that are not all going to fit into the same format,
right,
but we all take a hand and are involved with the same artist, so we all know what's going on. And that's the way we like to work. So I have my function, Bessie has her function, Roy has his function. So even if Bessie is just doing the one sheets that are going out to radio because she doesn't do Pop Adult, but at least she knows about the artist because she's had to create that one sheet. She's the one who's posted it on the site. She's the one that prepared DMDS, which is the digital delivery service.
I like digital better.
Oh, so do I.
Sounds like a food.
Digital. Yeah, we'll wait till they hear it. But she will prepare the DMDS service or the page for the client. So she knows. She is aware of the client. She knows what the client is about. And she will do any updates that we need to do on that client. She will do it. So she is connected. Even though she's not taking a hand in physically promoting, she knows about the client, you know?
So the idea of four guys get together, record an EP, mm-hmm. send out a package to a radio station, and then just wait to hear their song played on the radio, it doesn't really work that way, does it?
Well, it depends what they've put on that EP.
Well.
That's really what it comes down to.
But it's not a matter of, let's assume it's great and mm-hmm. it's well produced.
Mm-hmm.
But they're competing against people like you that are on mm-hmm. the phone and have relationships with mm-hmm. these people and mm-hmm. are talking to them every day.
It's going to be tough. You know, if they have the good fortune of having a powerful station get on their song, then it gives them ammunition to get more airplay across within that same format,
yeah.
across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But do they know who the stations are and
yeah.
who to talk to, what the terminology is. God, that's huge. You know, what the terminology is, you know, is it into the music meeting? Well, what does that mean? I mean, that's simple to me or to you, but somebody just starting out, what is a music meeting? Well, it's a meeting that happens once a week at a radio station, you know, and this is where they decide what stays, what goes, you know, and what are they going to put into rotation this week? You know, sometimes nothing happens at those stations that week. Sometimes people are on vacation and artists get frustrated because they take it very personally.
Oh, yeah.
And so they should, right?
Yeah, I can understand why program directors don't call artists back.
You know,
who wants to be in a 20-minute conversation with explain to them, no, we're taking a pass on your record because, and have them get all emotional about it.
Well, I don't think it's I think it's so much a I can't be bothered thing. It's more, I mean, we deal with these guys all the time. They're human beings. They don't want to hurt the artist's feelings.
Yeah, it's like, you
and
know, cutting someone off of a high school basketball team, you know.
Exactly. But they know, and I'm going to put this as plainly as possible, they know that companies like mine have been hired to take the darts.
Absolutely.
And That's another function of what I do. Not only do I get the accolades, but I'll take the darts for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And a lot of guys know that, you know, okay, I'll just tell Dulce exactly what I think, and she's going to soften the blow on the other end.
Now, I've seen, you know, the name of your company in Canadian Music Directory, and, you know, in a big, thick book. Mm-hmm. But I see your smiling face all over MySpace.
You're kidding.
I mean, you are out there. I mean, you are, people contact you. You always seem to listen to the music. You've got something to say to them. I mean, you don't send back. I mean, bands are the worst for form letters. You know, thanks for the ad. Come listen to our music. You know, they've spent no time. But you take the time.
Well, it's my business. This is what I do. I do it because I love it. And I'll tell you, when I first heard of MySpace, I really didn't think it was something that was for me. This was something I've been recommending to my clients for a while now. I said, well, do you have a MySpace account? No. I hadn't even been on MySpace yet.
Yeah.
And I was already saying, well, you know what, this MySpace thing, I think you should check it out because apparently everybody's on it and it seems to be a good marketing tool. I resisted.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came across this band on the web called The Midway State.
Yeah.
Independent band out of Toronto being produced, I believe, by Gavin Brown, who also produced 3 Days Grace and Billy Talent.
Right.
And I totally fell in love with their music, and they had this MySpace account. I fell in love with one song on their site.
Yeah.
And they had a MySpace link. So I went to MySpace and I thought, this is great. There's 4 songs here and they're all great. So I spent literally 2 weeks listening to these songs over and over again because I thought they were so fabulous. And if you need to know, The Midway State, okay?
Yeah.
That I thought, you know what? Heck, I'm here. I'm spending so much time on here just listening to these one guys. I might as well join because I want to see what the rest of these photos look like because I can't go in unless I'm a member. I say, what does this band look like, right?
Yeah.
And that's how it started. And I've been addicted ever since. And I, in response to your comment about me leaving comments and listening to music, well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I'm a publicist. I'm a music promoter. That's what I do in my office day in, day out, you know? And these people are obviously, this is what I'm thinking anyway, is that these bands are requesting my friendship, because that's what I do. If they request my friendship, I will go in, I will listen. If I haven't approved right away, it's because I haven't had a chance to listen yet, because I want to leave a comment and let you know what I think, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. And why wouldn't I do that? I mean, what's the point of just, for me, as a publicist and promoter, trying to get my name out there, what is the point of me just adding you as a friend? What does that do for me? What does that do for you?
Yeah, well, so many people treat it as you throw enough against the wall and some of it sticks, but it's an opportunity to build relationships.
And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be. It's a marketing tool.
Yeah.
And that's the way bands should be looking at it. And anybody who's on it should be looking at it, especially in the music business. I know there's other people that are not in, you know, they're there for different purposes anyway.
Yeah.
But this is one of the greatest marketing tools I think this industry has ever had globally. And use it. There's like, what? I think we're at like 96 million users.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Just
holy crap.
Phenomenal.
You know, are you just there to get your numbers go up for your profile views and for your friends? The more friends you have, the more bulletins you can send out, you know? I mean,
it doesn't mean they'll come to your show.
It doesn't mean anything.
You still have to have a compelling reason for them to be drawn.
Absolutely.
In.
And if you're a band and, you know, someone like me has added you and I've left a comment, heck, come back and leave a comment on my page. Not that I'm really fishing for comments, but think of it as a marketing tool. If you come and leave a comment on my page, that's more people that are going to see your photo and possibly click on you and go to your page. It's all about building numbers and getting exposure. Now, building numbers just for the sake of building numbers is useless. But if you think about it, that's advertising. Your photo, your band on somebody else's page is marketing.
Absolutely right. Thanks, Dulce. We're going to close the show with a DB Productions client, Stutter, an indie band from London, Ontario, who really makes great use of MySpace. They've got over 50,000 hits and over 10,000 friends. And this song is called All We Are.
Listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an Indie Can Music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit indiecan.com.